Well, God is full of surprises. Or more accurately, we are so filled with narrow, twisted ideas about God that we are constantly surprised to find that God does not conform to our little rigid expectations. Both of the scripture lessons we have just read tell us of people who are surprised when they encounter the generosity of God. God's grace does not turn out to be what they expected. First, look back to that passage from the book of Exodus. The people had escaped from Egyptian slavery, but on their way through the wilderness, they found few McDonald's by the side of the road. They got hungry. They got very hungry. Some even began to regret that they had left Egypt. They were forgetting their years of oppression and forced labor. They complained to Moses and Aaron, the leaders. Moses turned to God, who told him, "I will give them food. This is my situation, not yours." And in the morning there was something new on the ground under the covering of the dew. It was a flaky substance, something the people had not seen before. People looked at each other. "What is it?" they said. Moses told them, "This is the bread which God is giving you. And you shall have it every morning except the Sabbath until you reach your new homeland." But the people hesitated. "This is new. This is strange. What shall we do with it? It's not the kind of bread we had in Egypt. Give us something we know about. Give us something we are accustomed to." And you and I may be sure that only with much hesitation and much grumbling were the people brought to try the life-giving bread which surrounded them. God was providing a new kind of bread, and they had to learn to trust this surprising display of God's grace. Only when they had learned to recognize what God was doing were they able to carry on with their journey to the promised land. You know, I wonder what the grace of God is offering me today, which I am missing because I am so locked into what I'm used to that I cannot recognize a new shape of God's grace when it opens before me. Maybe God has something new for you. Maybe God has something new for the Bethel congregation. Something new that you can only receive if you trust and recognize it. God is full of surprises. Now let me tell you a story, which I found in a book by William Paul Young, who wrote The Shack, which many of you have read and more have heard about. This is another story by Mr. Young. A man died, and on arriving at the proverbial pearly gates, he wasn't sure exactly what to do. "Do I simply walk in?" he wonders. St. Peter, who always seems to be standing there in such stories, recognizes the look of puzzlement on the man's face, and he approaches and asks if he might offer some guidance. "I'm not sure exactly what I'm supposed to do," says the man. "Do I simply walk in?" Peter smiles. "It all depends." "It depends. What does it depend on?" "It depends on how many points you've earned," answers Peter. "Points? I need points? How many points do I need? 100. 100, the man thinks to himself. That can't be difficult. Surely I've earned 100 points. He turns back to Peter. So for the last 15 years, I have been serving on Saturday nights at the local soup kitchen, helping with the poor and the homeless. He offers this hopefully more as a question than as a statement. That's wonderful, exclaims Peter. I will give you a point for that. One point? The man is shocked and looks at Peter, who is enthusiastically nodding. And at that moment the man realizes this may not be so easy after all. Well, he hesitates. I was a pastor for 35 years. I did everything that was asked of me. Preached, married people, counseled, buried people, all kinds of things. Peter is looking kind of grim. Well, I don't know. Peter, please, 35 years? Peter thinks quietly for a moment and then he smiles. Okay, I'll give you a point for that. Now the man knows he's in trouble. His whole life has been basically summed up in 2 points, and he has 98 to go. A movement catches his eye, and looking across the way, he sees a man who had lived in the same town in which he pastored. He doesn't know this man very well. He was the sort of a person who came to church, maybe, on Christmas and Easter. He did remember that this man owned or at least worked in a coffee shop in town and always seemed pleasant enough, but he never engaged very much with the religious community. To his surprise, this man smiles, waves, and without hesitation, walks right in through the pearly gates. What? He exclaims, turning to Peter. Are you telling me that that guy has 100 points? Peter laughs. Oh no, he just doesn't play this game. He doesn't play this game. He doesn't try to earn points to win favor from God. He just accepts himself as who he is, a child of God. And we don't have to play the point game either. We do not have to pile up points. If you take one sentence away from church today, you have not wasted your hour. Listen to this. You do not have to play the point game to win God's love. God already loves you. Or as Mr. Young likes to express it, God is already fond of you. That is a given. Until you get this simple fact straight, nothing else is going to be quite right. But most of us are caught up in playing the point game. We are used to it. Our whole society and much of our church life too encourage us to play the game. And I do not mean just in our relationship with God. Surely we are tempted to make points with God by doing right or good things. The great 14th century preacher and mystic Meister Eckhart is one of many spiritual guides throughout history who have warned us of the danger of doing things, even doing good things, in order to gain a reward. Eckhart says it this way in one of his sermons, and you will have to excuse the sexually exclusive language. 14th century monks, even very good 14th century monks, were not very much into gender equality. Eckhart said or wrote, all things are surely dead if all... Let's try that sentence again. It helps if I read my text. All works are surely dead if anything from the outside compels you to work. Even if it were God himself compelling you to work from the outside, your works would be dead. If your works are to live, then God must move you from the inside, from the innermost region of the soul. Then they will really live. There is your life, and there alone you live, and your works live. In other words, seek God. Do not seek religious activities. Now look at the workers in the vineyard that Jesus spoke of. The men hired early in the morning agreed to play the usual game. They expected to work all day and receive the usual daily wage for a worker. They would work all day for that stated amount of money. And at first, this seems fair enough to them. When other workers are hired later, the first hired expect that surely they will get more than those who come into the vineyard later in the day. But no, all workers are paid the same. It doesn't matter how many points they've earned. That is, it doesn't matter how many hours they have worked that day. All stand on an equal footing before the vineyard's owner. The very fact that we feel a sense of unease as this story unfolds shows us how deeply we are stuck in playing the point game. Really, the story of the workers surprises us twice. First, at the most basic level, we are surprised at the generosity of the owner. This landowner is fully honest with his workers. He cheats no one. He pays what is due, and we probably think that he's overpaying those who worked only a part of the day. That's the first and simple level of meaning, God's surprising generosity. But at a deeper level, the owner surprises everyone by refusing to play the point game at all. Fairness does not really apply in this case. A deeper sort of dynamic is at work. There's a new game going on here. Many of us have children. We want to deal with all our children fairly. That's true. But sometimes the fairness of the courtroom or the arbitration hearing is not what our family needs. Sometimes love trumps fairness. Sometimes we want to be more than fair in dealing with our loved ones. This does not always make sense in terms of the point game. But Jesus shows us that the divine parent works on the basis of love and relationship, not on a scoreboard of how many points you've earned. Let me repeat that sentence. Jesus shows us that the divine parent works on the basis of love and relationship, not on a scoreboard of how many points you've earned. We don't always find it easy to see this sort of relationship unfold. We are so deeply stuck in the point game, where fairness is about the best we can find in our dealings with each other, that we don't look for anything higher. By his surprising, and some would say his unreasoning, dealing with his workers, the landowner forces us to see that the whole game has been changed. Point counts don't matter. What matters is that all the workers stand on an equal footing before the landowner. All are dependent on the owner's grace, and all receive the grace they need. And that, my friends, is good news. All receive what they need. This sounds more like a big family reunion than a corporate farm, doesn't it? Maybe Jesus is telling us that this is how God sees the world and all of God's children. Maybe you and I need to begin to look at the world from this viewpoint also, the basis of love and relationship, not the basis of points you've earned. May we learn to look at the world and each other in this way. Amen and amen.